Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Pesachim, Daf Lamed. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara introduces a machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding earthenware pots that were used for cooking chametz before Pesach. Rav said, "Kederes bePesach Yeshabru." Earthenware pots used for chametz must be broken before Pesach. Rashi explains Rav holds a Rabbi Yehuda that chametz after Pesach is asur b'hana, and that such leftover chametz will forbid a mixture of a similar kind. And although it will be a case of nos and tum of gum, it will impart a rancid flavor, Rav holds that it's still usser. The Gemara asks why Rav doesn't permit using the pots after Pesach with food, shalobiminam, that it's not of its kind, and answers that Rav was gozer lest people come to prepare them with food that is bimino, of its kind. Shmuel says that the pots don't need to be broken, but rather one can keep them for after Pesach, whereupon he can prepare food with them, ben bimino, ben shalobimino, whether of its kind or not. Shmuel rules in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who says that mixtures are permitted after Pesach. Point number two, the Gemara brings up Braisa that states, Ein lashin as a isa b'chalav. We may not knead dough with milk, and if one did so, the entire bread made from that dough is forbidden. Mifnei hergal avera, since it might lead to sin, meaning that one may come to eat the bread with meat. Similarly, we may not grease an oven with the fatty tail of a sheep, and if one did so, the entire bread in the oven is forbidden until one fires up the oven to burn away the fat. This implies that if the oven is fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing. So the Gemara asks on Rav, brought in point number one, that why does Rav say to break the earthenware pots? One can instead just burn the chametz out of them. The Gemara answers that the above case was referring to a metal oven, whereas Rav was referring to earthenware. Alternatively, both were earthenware, but in the above case, it was a stove, which is fired on the inside where the heat is more intense, whereas Rav's case was a pot, which is fired from the outside. The Gemara brings a third answer. And point number three, the Gemara discusses the kashering of kelim for Pesach. Knives used for chametz, both the handle and the blade, need to be kashered beroschin ubekli rishon, with boiling water and in a kli rishon. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua said, Eitz parer, wooden mixing spoons, magil beroschin ubekli rishon. One purges in boiling water and in a kli rishon. The Gemara notes that he holds kabol kachpoto, in the manner that the kli absorbs the flavor, it expels it. Maremar said that regarding an earthenware vessel, she'enu yotzmi de dofio le'olam, that it never leaves its state of defectiveness, meaning whatever it has absorbed can never be successfully purged. And point number three, the Gemara discusses the kashering of kelim for Pesach. Knives used for chametz, both the handle and the blade need to be kashered, beroschin ubekli rishon, with boiling water and in a kli rishon. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua said, Eitz parer, wooden mixing spoons, magil beroschin ubekli rishon, one purges in boiling water and in a kli rishon. The Gemara notes that he holds kabol kachpoto, in the manner that the kli absorbs the flavor, it expels it. Maremar said that regarding an earthenware vessel, she'enu yotzmi de dofio le'olam, that it never leaves its state of defectiveness, meaning whatever it has absorbed can never be successfully purged. And it was said in the name of Shmuel that all kelim that were used for chametz while it's cold, one may use for matzah on Pesach, except for a sourdough holder, since the fermentation is intense, which causes the chametz to enter the kli. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara introduces a machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding earthenware pots that were used for cooking chametz before Pesach. Rav said, "Kederes bePesach Yeshabru." Earthenware pots used for chametz must be broken before Pesach. Rashi explains that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that chametz after Pesach is asur b'hana, and that such leftover chametz will forbid a mixture of similar kind. And although it will be a case of nos and tum with gum, it will impart a rancid flavor, Rav holds that it's still asur. The Gemara asks why Rav doesn't permit using the pots after Pesach with food that's not of its kind, and answers that Rav was gozer lest people come to prepare them with food that is bimino, of its kind. Shmuel says that the pots need not be broken, but rather one can keep them for after Pesach, whereupon he can prepare food with them, ben bimino, ben shelo bimino. Shmuel rules in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who says that mixtures are permitted after Pesach. Point number two, the Gemara brings up Braisa that states, Ein lashin as a isa b'chalav. We may not knead dough with milk, and if one did so, the entire bread made from that dough was forbidden, since it might lead to sin, meaning that one may come to eat it with meat. Similarly, we may not grease an oven with the fatty tail of a sheep, and if one did so, the entire bread in the oven is forbidden until one fires up the oven to burn away the fat. This implies that if the oven is fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing. The Gemara asks on Rav, brought in point number one, that why does Rav say to break the earthenware pots? One can instead just burn the chametz out of them. The Gemara answers that the above case was referring to a metal oven, whereas Rav was referring to an earthenware one. Alternatively, both were earthenware, but in the above case, it was a stove, which is fired on the inside where the heat is more intense, whereas Rav's case was a pot, which is fired from the outside, and the Gemara brings a third answer. And point number three, the Gemara discusses the kashering of kelim for Pesach. Knives used for chametz, both the handle and the blade, need to be kashered, with boiling water and in a kli rishon. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua said, eitz parer, wooden mixing spoons. Magil beroschin ubekli rishon. One purges in boiling water and in a kli rishon. The Gemara notes that he holds kabol kachpoto, in the manner that the kli absorbs the flavor, it expels it. Maremar said that regarding an earthenware vessel, she'ena yotz midei dofi olam, that it never leaves its state of defectiveness, meaning whatever it has absorbed can never be successfully purged. It was said in the name of Shmuel that all candles that are used for chametz, while it is cold, one may use for matzah on Pesach, except for a sourdough holder, since the fermentation is intense, which causes the chametz to enter the vessel. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Lamed, and our standard Simfer Daf Lamed is a Melamed, is a Rebbe, a teacher. So here goes. The Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach were free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, and to do Hagalas Kalim. Once again, it's a motion. The Rebbe, that must be more on Daf Lamed for Melamed. The Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, which reminds us that it's Malchokas Rav and Shmuel whether earthenware pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken. Rav says they do, as he rules like Rabbi Yehuda, the chametz after Pesach is asur b'hana, and that such leftover chametz will forbid a mixture of similar kind, and although it will be a case of nos and tum of gum, it will impart a rancid flavor, Rav holds that it's still asur. And Shmuel says they do not need to be broken, as he rules like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that mixtures after Pesach are permitted after Pesach. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, which reminds us we may not need dough with milk, and if one did so, the entire bread made from that dough is forbidden, since it might lead to sin, meaning that one may come to eat it with meat. Similarly, we may not grease an oven with the fatty tail of a sheep, and if one did so, the entire bread in the oven is forbidden until one fires up the oven to burn away the fat. This implies that if the oven is fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, and to do Hagalas Kalim. Which reminds us that the Gemara discusses the kushering of kalim, such as knives, wooden spoons, earthenware vessels, and that kalim used with chametz while it's cold can be used for matzah on Pesach. So once again, the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, and to do Hagalas Kalim. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazorah. Daf Chavav, so the symbol Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The troops, that must be more on Daf Chavav, military coup. The troops hiding in the shade of the Heichal wall, which reminds us that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai would sit in the shade of the Heichal and teach Torah to the masses is not a proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the case of Delev Shebecham Echavin, that what is unavoidable but one intends to enjoy is permitted. As Rav explained, the benefiting the shadow cast by the heichal is different, the lesochu asui, because the heichal is made primarily as protection for what's inside of it. Therefore, the shade it provides to what is outside of it is deemed an unusual form of benefit, and therefore it's permitted. So the troops hiding the shade of the heichal wall were enjoying the base of Mikdash sounds, appearance, and aromas, which reminds us that Rav Papa explained that what Bar Kappara meant when he said the sound, appearance, and aroma are not subject to me'ilah was kol umara ein behem ushim me'ilah, the sound of musical instruments, and the appearance of the heichal are not subject to me'ilah because they have no substance, and the reich from the katoris after its column of smoke rises is not subject to me'ilah, hoyova nasis mitzvaso, since its required procedure has been done. And Rashi explains that me'ilah only applies to kachi Hashem, the holies of Hashem, and once the mitzvah has been done and the smoke rises, the aroma is no longer considered kachi Hashem. So the troops hiding the shade of the heichal wall were enjoying the base of Mikdash sounds, appearance, and aromas, while blowing up new ovens in the distance that were fired up with oral appeals. Which reminds us, the Gemara resolved the contradiction between two brises, where one said a new oven that was fired up with oral appeals needs to be smashed, and the second brise stated that it just required cooling down before the next use. The first brise was going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds, Zev Zeh Gorem Aser, the joint product of forbidden and permitted causes is forbidden. The forbidden cause is the initial forbidden oral appeals contained in the oven, and the permitted cause is the subsequent permitted wood. The second brice reflects the opinion of the Rabbanan who hold Zev Zeh Gorem Mutter, the joint product of forbidden, and permitted causes is permitted. Daf Chav Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. The agitated father who had enough of the buzzing sound tried to burn his son's kazoo. Kazoo? That must be one Daf Chav Zayin. The agitated father who had enough of the buzzing sound tried to burn his son's kazoo on flickering coals, which reminds us, if one cooked bread over the coals of forbidden substances, such as klai, karam, straw, all agree that the bread is permitted to be eaten. There are two different opinions given, one in the name of Shmuel and one in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. One said the brisa only referred to smoldering coals, but loaves baked over flickering coals are forbidden, according to Rabbi, who holds shvach etzim bepas. The improvement of the wood is contained in the bread. If the coals are still flickering, then the fuel is not considered completely burnt up, and it's still forbidden. The other one said even loaves baked over flickering coals are permitted, according to everyone. According to this opinion, Rebbe would forbid the bread when the flame is opposite it during the baking, since the heat is still emanating from intact wood. So the agitated father, who had enough of the buzzing sound, tried to burn his son's kazoo on flickering coals from hektish wood consecrated to purchase shlami. Which reminds us, Rav Chisa was asked what the halacha is according to the Rabbanan who permit bread that was baked with kli hakerem or atzei orla in a case of an oven that one fired up with hektish wood, and then one baked bread in it. He ruled that the bread baked in it is forbidden. Rav Papa explained that the hektish wood does not become chulin through an act of me'ila, because this was a case where the wood was consecrated for the purchase of shlamim, which is invested with the equivalent kedusha of a shlamim. And Rav Chisa was asked what the halacha was according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that shlamim are not subject to me'ila and do not become chulin. So the agitated father, who had enough of the buzzing sound, tried to burn his son's kazoo on flickering coals from hektish wood consecrated to purchase shlamim, because he followed the opinion of those that hold kazoos only stop working when they're burned in a fire. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yehuda attempted to prove his view that chametz must be burned in fire by bringing a kavachomer from Noser. If Noser, which is not subject to the prohibitions of Bal Yirah or Bal Yematzah, yet requires elimination through burning, then chametz, which is subject to those prohibitions, kavachomer should require elimination through burning. The Chachamim countered kol din shatadan chilasu lahachmir, v'sofu lahakel eno din. Any kavachomer that is initially advanced to apply stringency, but whose end result is a leniency, is not valid. According to this Kal Vachomer, if one cannot find wood to burn the chametz, there'd be a leniency. They just have to do the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Therefore, it's not a correct Kal Vachomer. Daf Chav Ches, the Simmer Daf Chav Ches is a strong man. The strong man, that must be more Daf Chav Ches. The strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other, which reminds us that the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda regarding burning chametz and stated, "Mafar avodah l'ruach umatu l'yam." He crumbles the chametz and scatters it to the wind or casts it into the sea. And the Gemara inquired if that means the chametz must be crumbled whether it's thrown into the wind or cast into the sea, or means they must crumble it to scatter it to the wind, but he may cast it into the sea intact. An apparel inquiry was made regarding a mission that discusses destroying avodah zorah using similar language. Rabbi holds that the avodah zorah being thrown into the Yam HaMelech doesn't require grinding, but chametz thrown into the rivers does. Rav Yosef says the opposite. The avodah zorah, which doesn't dissolve, requires grinding, but chametz that does dissolve does not require crumbling. So the strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other was embarrassed when he was told that the chametz belonged to a nachri, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, chametz shel nachri she'avra lav pesach mutter b'hana. Chametz belonging to a nachri after Pesach has passed is mutter b'hana, while Yisrael asr b'hana, but chametz that belonged to a Jew over Pesach is asr b'hana, she'ne'amar lo yerocha sa'or, as it says, leaven shall not be seen to. Rashi cites the Gemara's conclusion that the pasuk cited as the reason for the ruling, meaning that the Jew's chametz is forbidden because he's penalized after having transgressed the prohibition against having it in his possession over Pesach. So the strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other was embarrassed when he was told that the chametz belonged to a nachri and that he better relearn the three shitas regarding the iser chametz. Which reminds us that it's a three-way machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili regarding when chametz is aser and what one is liable for. Dav chavtes, so the simmer dav chavtes is a kot. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot. Kot? That must be more dav chavtes. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot, which reminds us, Rav Acher ben Yaakov said that the Mishnah dav chav ches amud alef reflected the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, yelech sor dechil mesor deriyah, and he derives a prohibition of leaven regarding eating from the prohibition of leaven regarding seeing, meaning that just as one is restricted from seeing his chametz, but he may see the chametz of nachrim and hekdesh, so too only your leaven you may not eat, but one may eat that of nachrim and hekdesh. In fact, continues Rav Acher ben Yaakov, the Mishnah should have stated that nachri's chametz is permitted to be eaten during Pesach. But since it stated that Jew's chametz is aser b'hana after Pesach, it contrasted it with a nachri's chametz that is mutter b'hana after Pesach. The Gemara later proves that Rav Acher ben Yaakov retracted his understanding of Rav Yehuda's position. So the chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his cot and hektish chametz in the closet, which reminds the Gemara brought up b'raisa that said, "Ochel chametz shel hektish b'moed ma'al." One who eats chametz of hektish during Pesach has committed me'ila. V'yesh omrim lo ma'al, and there are those that say that he has not committed me'ila. And one of the five interpretations of the brisa is brought by Rav Acher ben Rava, who explained in the name of Rav Yosef the Malchokis regarding b'davar hagorm l'mamun k'mamun dami, whether something can lead to a benefit of money is treated as though it's money now. The one who says, the one who eats the chametz has committed miyua holds that it's treated as money now, since the chametz of Hekdesh can be eaten after Pesach and therefore has value. And the Yeshomim holds dabra gormo mamon lavka mamon dami, that something that can lead to benefit of money is not treated as though it's money now. Therefore, the person did not commit an act of me'ila on something of value. So the chametz enthusiast who kept nechri chametz under his cot and hektish chametz in the closet could even discern a mashu of chametz in a mixture that did not impart taste. Which reminds us, the Gemara presents the opinions of Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan regarding the halachas of mixtures containing chametz. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Wish that they learned that Rav Acher ben Yaakov initially said that Rabbi Yehuda held that one could eat a Nachri's chametz on Pesach, but then he retracted. That's on Daf Chavtes. Good. Number 2. Wish that we discussed kashrut kelim for Pesach, such as knives and wooden spoons. That's on Daf Lamed. Good. Number 3. Wish that we machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon whether a new oven fired up with a forbidden substance needs to be destroyed or not. That's on Daf Chavav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a 3-way machlokes regarding a mixture containing chametz? That's on Daf Chavtes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that wood that is consecrated for shlamim does not become chulin when one is mal? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds milah does not apply to shlamim? That's on Daf Chavzayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have a machlokes regarding crumbling chametz versus crumbling of a dessert when being thrown into the water? That's on Daf Chavches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we machlokes Rav and Shmuel whether pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken? That's on Daf Lamed. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have the Mishnah regarding chametz sha'avar lava Pesach? That's on Daf Chavches. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that the fact that one must give up his life rather than commit murder is based on the svora of whose blood is redder? That's on Daf Chavhei. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that an oven greased with a fatty tail of a sheep, if it's fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing? That's on Daf Lamed. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn about a lechia omet me'elav? That's on Daf Tezvav and Erevin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about birchas hochama? That's on Daf Nuntes and Brachas. Good. And number 3, which daf do you know what one does if you forgot which day was Shabbos? That's on Daf Samech Tes and Shabbos. Good. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.